Second Chronicles chapter 20 and the verse 12. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And we pray the Lord might enable us to do that, to look to him, to keep our eyes upon him amidst all the challenges of life for each one of us, and especially the challenges of these trying days in which we live. But our eyes are upon thee. We're going to sing together the opening verses of the Psalm 46 as we commence the service today. God is our refuge and our strength. We're going to be thinking today in the meeting, especially in the message, about those who are seeking refuge, especially at this time. So these are very appropriate words as we remind ourselves that the Lord is our refuge for time and for eternity. So it's the first seven verses of the Psalm 46, and we're standing together as we sing, please. Just bow together before the Lord. We'll still our hearts together. Father, we do approach thee together in prayer at the beginning of our meeting. We bow before thy holy throne. We're mindful that you're the living God We acknowledge thee as the maker, the creator of all things. You're the one that knows all things. You know our hearts. You know our very thoughts as we're gathered here before thee today. You know the burdens and concerns that weigh upon every heart in this meeting. You know, Father, the situation, the circumstance of every family in this congregation. And Father, our earnest prayer is that your hand will be upon your people here. We pray that every family will know the hand of God in blessing and provision. We want to pray, Father, for the safety of our families, our congregation too. You are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Lord, we ask that even at this time we'll prove those words. We want to pray that you'll make them a blessing even to our hearts today. We come, Father, just in prayer to commit the way unto thyself this morning. We come to commit this meeting just into your hands. We're asking, Father, that you'll be with us. Pray that even now we will be conscious of your presence, that we will sense your nearness. We want to pray that the Lord will be with us, the Lord will be amongst us. Our prayer, Father, today is that you would encourage our hearts as we gather here. We want to pray that this meeting will be an encouragement to each one. We want to pray, Father, we'll come together this morning for the better. We remember Paul had to upbraid the Corinthians that they came together not for the better but for the worse. But we want to pray, Father, that we, each one, will be the better for being in thy house, for gathering here at thy feet for this time of worship. Lord, our prayer is that we would be strengthened in the things of God. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll strengthen us in the faith of the gospel. We want to pray that you'll build us up today in our most holy faith. We ask thee, Father, to teach us from your word. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for this great treasure that you've given to us. We thank you, Father, for every truth contained within it. We acknowledge that at times our eyes are dim and we cannot see as we ought. So we just want to pray, Father, at the beginning, that you'll come and touch our eyes. Even in the prayer that's recorded in the scriptures, we ask thee to open our eyes that we may behold great and wondrous things from out of thy law. We're mindful, Father, of all that took place in the past week. Thank you for the midweek service. We thank you for the time of outreach. We rejoice in the going forth into this community, the literature that went out, those that were spoken to, the abundant sowing of the seed of the gospel. And Lord, we're asking that you would use that literature, even the work that was done the previous week. And we think of all the tracts given out around the time of the 12th. And Lord, we remember the promise that your word will not return unto you void. We ask thee to use it to speak. We pray that it will lead men and women into the light of the gospel. We're mindful of the meetings planned for this incoming week, for prayer answered already. And Lord, we thank you for even the outlook, the forecast that is given. Pray that it will continue. We pray for days that will be appropriate, Father, for those meetings. Remember the leaders there and all the preparations that are being made. We pray that you'll help them and encourage them. We pray, Father, for a blessed time among the children down in Killalea. We think of those young lives and young hearts with so many evil influences upon them at this time. And Lord, our cry is that as a church we might be used even to bring them up a little in the things of God. Remember that Paul could say to Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And what a privilege, Father, that is. Remember your young servant, Mr. Story, as he'll come to speak. Pray that he especially will know the help of God. We pray that he'll be used amongst us during this week. Lord, we ask that souls will be saved, that children will be won to Christ. We pray that families will be spoken to and even changed and transformed as a result of those meetings that will take place. So we're glad, Father, we can commit them to thee. We remember the radio broadcasts, that open door. Bless the whole ministry of LTBS. Remember Mr. Curran in the heavy workload that he bears. Use your servant. We pray that his prayers will be answered. And we think, Father, of the broadcast that as a church we're involved in with Radio Star Country. And we pray that there'll be a good hearing for the word of God. We want to ask, Father, that you would encourage the congregation here, even by answering their prayers, that we would hear of those that have been challenged, those that have been spoken to, even as a result of those meetings. We think, Father, of the plans to commence several of the activities again in September. We bring those before thee. We do need the help of God. We need thee to hear our cries. We're conscious, Father, of the situation in the country. We lift that up before thee, even as we acknowledged earlier, you know all things. And Lord, we're praying for your hand to be upon the situation. We pray, Father, that circumstances will allow all of these activities to begin and to continue, even right throughout the winter. Help all of the leaders. We thank you for their love for the work of God, their willingness to serve thee, even here in this congregation. We pray, Father, that prayer would be answered, that there would be tokens for good, even as the activities begin again. We want to pray that new ground would be taken. We remember that the word of God says that there remaineth yet much ground to be possessed. So, Father, answer our cries. We pray that you'll bless us today. We want to ask thee to open the word of God to us today. We want to pray that you'll speak to us. We're asking, Father, just for a word for this time, a word in season to each one of us. So here, these are prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Leviticus, the Old Testament scriptures. The book of Leviticus, and it is the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus. So it's the book of Leviticus in the 19th chapter. We're reading towards the end of the chapter. We'll take up the reading at verse 26. Some instructions for the children of Israel. Leviticus 19, verse 26. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any mark upon you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honour the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meteard, in weight, or in measure, just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them. I am the Lord, or I am Jehovah. Ending there this morning, and we're assured the Lord will add his own blessing to this, the public reading of his word. Just a verse, well-known verse for the boys and girls. It's found in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want to say a few words to you boys and girls related to what's happening out there in Afghanistan just at present. Very sad and serious circumstances and situation. We feel deeply for the people in that land, especially the Christian people. There is a Christian church. I read during the week that the church in Afghanistan is the second fastest growing church in the world at this particular time. So we can only imagine the situation that they will find themselves in at this time. So we want to think of them, take them upon our hearts in prayer. I did mention to you briefly, maybe 3 weeks ago, about a man called J. Christy Wilson Jr. He was a missionary in Afghanistan. He actually was born in Persia, or modern Iran. He was born in Tabriz, up in northern Iran. His father was also called J. Christy Wilson. He was J. Christy Wilson Sr. So he was a missionary there in Iran at the time that his son was born. So he grew up in that part of the world, and he actually learned some of the languages as he grew up. So recently I read his life story, Where No One Is Heard. It's not quite a challenge to think that there's still places in the world today where no one is heard. No one has heard the gospel. No one has heard of Christ. From he was a boy, just from he was a lad, whenever people asked him, you think of this, boys and girls, when people asked him what he was going to do when he grew up, he said he was going to be a missionary in Afghanistan. Some people smiled when he said that. The reason they smiled was because you couldn't get into Afghanistan as a missionary. And that's certainly the case today. But in the sovereignty of God, he did get into Afghanistan, and he laboured there for over 20 years. And that book tells the story. Another book that's connected to it is one that's called More to be Desired than Gold. That was printed in commemoration of his 70th birthday. It was actually compiled by one of his students. He went on to teach a missionary course in one of the theological seminaries in North America. And this was put together by Ivan Cho. He was one of the students. These were all stories that J. Christy Wilson told about his missionary labours in Afghanistan. They actually put this book together, encouraging people to read a few of them every morning. Some of them are quite short. When you're having your quiet time, to read a few of these every morning, just to give you a little bit of a challenge about missionary work. Keep your focus on the need of spreading the gospel among the nations. So I want to highlight that too. We probably wouldn't agree just with everything, and I put in that for you, just in case you read this and you say, Mr. McMillan recommended that book. Well, that sounds a wee bit dubious. That's true of most books you read. Most people you read about, we probably don't agree with everything that they said and done. But that doesn't mean that we can't profit and be challenged from reading about their life and their labours. So I want to encourage you just to think about that. Even the parents, the adults, always want to encourage you to do a wee bit of reading. And there's nothing better than good missionary reading. And he actually saw a church built there. They got permission to build a church. And then the authorities changed their mind when the church was erected, and they pulled the church down again. And at that stage, the situation was changing in the country. There was used to be a monarchy in Afghanistan up to 1973. The king went on a trip to Italy to have some procedures carried out on his eyes. And while he was in Italy, there was a coup that took place, and they overthrew and disbanded the monarchy back in 73, and they set up a republic. So I want you to know that there has been missionary activity. There are believers there in Afghanistan, and take them upon your heart and pray for those countries. This word that's up on the screen that the men have put up, it's a strange word, isn't it? Nur. You see various spellings of it. Sometimes it's just N-U-R or N-O-U-R. It's actually an Afghanistan word. There are two main languages in Afghanistan, Pashto and Dari. Dari is spoken by nearly half of the population. Dari is one of the Eastern Persian languages, or Eastern Iranian languages, and Dr. Wilson would have learnt that language as he grew up. So I want you to think of that word, Nur. It's a very well-known word in the Afghani Dari language. That language, Pashto, is sometimes called Afghani. So there's those two, Pashto and Dari. And this is a Dari word. And I'll give you an idea. Let me get my phone out just to do this. I'll give you an idea of what that word... Can you see that? What's that on my phone? What is it? A light. So that's what the word Nur in the Dari language means. It means... Oh, there you are. She's talking back to me. So it means light. So I want you to remember that, boys and girls. You've learnt a wee bit of Afghan vocabulary in the meeting this morning. And if there's one thing that Afghanistan needs, and there's one thing the nations of the earth need, they need a wee bit of light, and they need a wee bit of spiritual light. And I want you to pray about that. This word is also a name. You have maybe heard it used as a name. The former Queen of Jordan, who had an American background, she was Queen Nur of Jordan. It's not just a lady's name, it's one of those names as we have in our own language. It can be a man's name as well. So I encourage you to look out for that. But I want you to pray that the light of the gospel will shine forth into that very darkened land. Remember, the Lord's able. He's able to do that, boys and girls. And that's why I read to you those words from John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Sometimes this word takes on the meaning of a divine light. And God has given us a divine light in the Bible. This is our light. Remember, I showed you the light on the phone? Well, this is a far better light. Peter said that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. The dark place that verse is referring to is the world. And the world's getting darker. And it will get darker, boys and girls, as the time of the end approaches, get darker still. But here's a light. Here's a light to guide our path. There's a very well-known verse, you know, Psalm 119, all 176 verses of it. Well, verse 105 says that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So that's why you need to read the Bible regularly. That's why you need to read the Bible every day. This book will guide you every day through this dark world and through the difficult circumstances of life. So I want to encourage you to be a reader of the Bible, and in your home as well, read the Bible regularly and come out to the meetings to hear the word of God proclaimed and the word of God taught. And remember that as well as the Bible being a divine light, the Lord Jesus himself, he's the light of the world. The Bible also says that we are lights. We're to shine. We're to reflect his light to others around us. Let your light so shine before men. It's important the way that we live, not just the way that we speak. It's important the way that we live so that others might be challenged of their need of Christ as Saviour. And the Bible talks about the entrance of God's Word giving light, the glorious light of the gospel shining into darkened hearts. And that's the way we're born. We're born naturally with a sinful, darkened heart. And we need the light of the gospel to shine. We need the Lord to come into our hearts, the light of the world, and be our Saviour. And that's our prayer for each one of you at this time, boys and girls. So remember this word, Nur, an Afghani word from the Dari language in Afghanistan. We need light. We thank God for the light He has given us. There's not a doubt that our land needs more light as well, spiritual light, in these days. So it's very appropriate, not just as we think of Afghanistan, but as we think of the darkness that's descending on our own land just at this time. So if any of you are interested in these books and you didn't catch the name, you let me know, send me a wee message, and I'll be happy to send those to you. We're glad to see each one. Thank you for your presence this Sabbath day. We appreciate you coming to morning worship. We're glad of all that have been able to come. We're especially glad to see Mrs. Harris Hill. We're delighted that her sister is able to be out with us at the service today. The Lord's hand has been upon her. She had some encouraging news from a review down in Dublin just during the past week. So we thank you all for your presence. Pray the Lord will be with us. Remember, please, the meeting tonight, 6:30, our drive-in meeting out at the Woodview Garden Centre. The singer is our sister, Clare Denny, from the Tandraghee Church. We were to have our brother, Denver Wilson. Denver had to cancel. He sent a sincere apology for that. His circumstances had changed unexpectedly. So we're glad that our sister Colette has been able to come to minister. We're looking forward to that. I hope to be preaching myself. We encourage you to come along to the meeting. Remember, the drive-in meetings will be finishing next Sabbath evening. That's the Lord's Day, the 29th of August. Including tonight, there's just two more of those services, those special outreach services left. So I urge you to come along and do what you can to bring others with you. Just on behalf of our brother Billy McCrum, and the outreach team, we thank all that came on Tuesday night to help with the outreach. There was a very encouraging turnout. 1,300 homes were visited. There was a literature drop of two pieces of gospel literature into each one of those about 1,300 homes in the area. So there was a great time of outreach, a very positive sowing of the seed, and pray that that will bear much fruit in coming days. Looking forward to the incoming week, Tuesday to Thursday, 6:30 to 8:00. There's the Holiday Bible Club meetings down in Killalea. Young Jonathan Story, student in the college from the Ballymoney Church, is going to be conducting those. Some invitation cards have been produced with a little consent form on the back. Those are available. There is that list in the porch. If you can help or speak to Laura and Karen, let them know the nights that you're available. We're thankful the forecast is good for the incoming week. That's an answer to prayer. Pray that that will continue. And we want to encourage you to do all that you can, please, to help with that special outreach among the children in the incoming week. Wednesday at 8 is the midweek service, our prayer meeting and Bible study. I hope to be preaching myself, and we invite you to come along and join with us next Lord's Day, the 29th of August. The service is at the usual times, 11:30 here in the church, 6:30 out at Woodview. Our sister Kirsten McMullen from the Mullagh Glass Church will be coming to minister in song, and I hope to be the preacher at both services. Just to remind you that we're planning to recommence several of the activities of the church in the will of the Lord again in September. The Sunday school, the Bible classes, the two bright hours and the youth fellowships. We will be asking the parents to bring the children to the bright hour here in the church. We'll not be sending out buses, just to re-emphasise that. If you could make that known, we would appreciate that. Please pray that all of the activities will be able to go ahead as planned. Pray for all of the leaders in the plans, the preparations, the work that they do. We're deeply indebted to all of our workers and our labours. Our labourers, do tell others about those meetings. And we encourage you as well, if you haven't before, to get involved in labouring for the Lord through some of the activities of the church. And we will give a few more details just about that, God willing, next Lord's Day. Remember the paper pulpit booklets, the volume 3, copies available at the doors, printed by the committee here as a missionary project. Again, all proceeds going to the mission board to help fund pastors' conferences. One volume or one copy costs £3. There's the special offer of any two for £5. There's a sheet there to put your name on, the number you took and so on, just to help us keep a track of how many have gone out. So I want to encourage you to purchase some of those and give them out among your family and your neighbours, just as a means of evangelism and outreach. There's also some further copies of the King William tract that the committee printed for outreach around the 12th time. We're thinking of next Saturday, the Black Demonstrations. If you're going to any of those parades, do take a few of them. Give them out in your lodge, your band, the town or whatever area you're going to be visiting. We certainly would be glad of your help. There's quite a few of those has gone out. Probably 8,500 of them has gone out so far. So there's still a few more there. Please help us and get involved just in the distribution of them. And take time to look at the other literature that's there as well. Just to remind you to pray for our brother Rodney. He is feeling a little stronger. We're glad of that. When we phoned with him, he was able to answer the phone himself. He was sounding quite bright and positive. So we are very thankful for the Lord's hand upon him. And he did want me to express to you, as on his behalf, his deepest thanks to the congregation for your faithfulness, just in bearing him up before the throne of grace in prayer. He has deeply appreciated that over these last number of weeks. We're going to sing another hymn together just before we come to the word of the Lord. 515 is the hymn. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Are you ready his service to do? We're just going to sing the first three verses, verses 1 to 3 only, and we'll stand as we sing, please.
His
Let's just seek the Lord for a moment. Gracious Father, we thank you for every blessing that you've given to us in this land of ours. We remember how you have favoured this nation so greatly with the light of your word, the light of truth. And Lord, we're praying that you'll be gracious and merciful to our land even at this time. We cry to thee for a mighty visitation of God. We do pray for other lands in great need, especially, Father, mindful of the situation in Afghanistan. We pray for wisdom to be given to world leaders. We pray, Father, for guidance. We pray for your stabilizing hand to be upon that situation. We pray, Father, that you'll be gracious, especially to your people there in that land. We ask that you will keep them. We think of those words we sang together, that you're our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. And Lord, we pray that your people there in that great land will prove those words very powerfully, even at this time. Lord, we ask thee to guide even the Church of Christ around the world at this time. We pray for opportunities to be given, doors to be opened, even that we might be able to do something in that land to help those people and even to spread abroad the glorious light of God's redeeming grace. Lord, abide with us around the word. We ask thee to make this a blessed and a profitable time. We ask it might be one of those Emmaus Road experiences that our hearts will burn within us while you talk with us by the way. We offer our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning together, please, to Leviticus 19. There's one verse especially just in that chapter that I want us to direct our attention to this morning. The 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus, especially verse 34, but I'll read verse 33 as well. Think of the words carefully. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. In other words, as one from your own country. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So, as you know, we have been thinking of issues related to the Christian life, worship and marriage, money and words, politics, missionary work, death, smoking. Last Sabbath day, we thought a little about the subject of suicide in relation to the Christian. This morning, we're going to think of the Christian and refugees, very relevant in the light of all that we hear in the news. The reality is there are a lot of refugees already in the United Kingdom, and there's a lot of refugees that are still entering the United Kingdom. Many are seeking to cross the English Channel to enter the country, and we often, over the last number of months, have heard those stories, heard about that situation in the news. And now, as a result of the awful situation in Afghanistan, and many more thousands of refugees are set to arrive. So there's not a doubt there are a lot of refugees in the United Kingdom. And today I want us to think about those refugees, and especially want us to ask the question, what should our attitude as Christians, as a church, what should our attitude be to refugees coming into our country? At the beginning, let me stress very clearly to you this important fact. The word refugee comes from a French word. It's a French word that has the idea of seeking a place of safety, a place of refuge. And the word refugee was first used to describe the Huguenots, or the French Protestants, who fled from France in 1685. After the Edict of Nantes was revoked, the Edict of Nantes, that was the law that granted religious liberty to the Huguenots in France. The result of that edict being revoked was that 400,000 Protestants, 400,000, fled for their lives from France. And many of them settled here in Britain. In fact, it's believed as many as 50,000 of that 400,000. So what that means, brethren and sisters, is that many Protestant families in Britain and in Ireland too, they came here. They came here to live as refugees. They can trace their ancestry back to the first people who were known as refugees. And that fact should influence us, should influence our thinking. It should influence our attitude to all refugees. If you look back far enough in your family tree, maybe your ancestors were Huguenots. Maybe some of your ancestors were among the first people to be described as refugees. Let me point out to you, the word refugee is not found in our English version of the Bible, because as I've just pointed out, the word wasn't first used until 75 years after the Authorized Version was translated. But because the word itself isn't found in the Bible, that doesn't mean that the Bible has nothing to say about refugees. In fact, the reality is to the very contrary of that. There are many references to people in that condition that are found in the Scriptures. Just to highlight, I want to bring this to your attention. The words strangers, sojourners, aliens, foreigners that you read about in the Word of God all refer to people from any nation, any ethnic group who had chosen to leave their own country and to live among the Jews in Israel. If you think of one of those words, just one of them, the word stranger, in the singular it occurs 131 times in the Bible. In the plural, strangers, it's found another 80 times. So a total of 211 times you read either about stranger or strangers. So it's clear that the Bible has much to say about such people. And it has much to say as well about how we should view them and how we should treat them as they live amongst us. So I want to encourage you to take the time to look up some of those references yourself. Take the concordance, find some of those words, stranger, sojourner, aliens, foreigners. Look them up and read what the Lord has said about them. And if you look carefully this morning at the words of our text, what you will see, what you will learn is that this verse, it's a very significant verse, because it's the Old Testament version of loving your neighbour or your stranger as yourself. Remember, the Lord Jesus emphasized that during his ministry. Well, this is the Old Testament version of that great statement of the Saviour. Look at the verse. It says, "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself." Just let that settle down into your heart this morning. And then he emphasizes, "For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So it's clear, men and women, from this one verse, way back in the book of Leviticus, you're to love the strangers, you're to love the refugees, and you're to love them as yourself. And what a challenge that brings to our hearts today. Just quickly, let me ask you to think of some other references to strangers or refugees. The Lord said in the book of Exodus, "Thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." So we're clearly commanded not to oppress the stranger, the refugee. Israel were to treat them well. They're commanded to remember that they were strangers, that they were refugees during that 400-year period that they were there in the land of Egypt. And they knew what it was to be cruelly treated by Pharaoh and his taskmasters. And brethren and sisters, as descendants of the Huguenots, we know the heart of a stranger. We too know the heart of a refugee, or at least we ought to, if we put our history, our ancestry, in its right place. Think as well of what Moses said in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. They were instructed, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make a clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest." They weren't to take the combine harvester right into the corner. "Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them." They were to leave those parts of the field. The corner of the field wasn't to be completely reaped. When they were gleaning, if they dropped something, they weren't to go back to pick it up again. "Thou shalt leave them." Why were they to leave them? "Unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God." That puts a solemnity. That's why it's repeated down that chapter 19. Those words, "I am the Lord your God," puts a solemnity on the statement the Lord is making. So there's instruction for the farmers. They were to leave some of the harvest, some of the crops in the field, especially for the poor and the strangers, the foreigners. So it's clear that God looked after. God made provision for the refugees. He gave instruction as what his people were to do to help to make that provision for the strangers that were amongst them. You think as well of Paul's words to the Hebrews. "Be careful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." That especially refers to people from another country. Because remember, as I've sought to set out to you, that's the consistent usage of this word in the Bible, as it's found in the Word of God. So I want you today to be in no doubt, brethren and sisters, the Bible has much to say about strangers. It has much to say about how strangers and how refugees should be treated. And it also gives many well-known examples of refugees, many well-known examples of those that fled to another country for refuge. Remember that Moses, the man of God, the man that wrote these words under inspiration of our text today, Moses knew what he was speaking about here by experience. Moses was a refugee. Do you remember that he fled for his life from Pharaoh into the land of Midian? He said of that time, "I have been an alien in a strange land." Today the word alien refers to unusual beings from outer space. But never forget that in the Bible, an alien described a people living in another land, and often living in that other land for their own safety, as Moses was doing. And remember as well that Moses called his eldest son Gershom. And he did that in memory of his experience as a refugee in Midian. He tells us that in the book of Exodus. "And she bare him a son," that's Zipporah, his wife bare him a son, "and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land." So the name Gershom had the idea of being a stranger. Moses, the man of God, was a refugee. So too were many members of the New Testament church. Do you remember that when Stephen was put to death, the book of Acts says there was great persecution against the church? Saul was the leader of that persecution at that time. And the result was that they were all scattered abroad. That's what happened to the church at Jerusalem. Scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the believers were in danger. And what they did was they fled for safety. They were Christian refugees in the times of the New Testament. And as they fled, the Lord overruled, and he overruled for the spread of the gospel, for the scattering of the church over a much wider area. So refugees in the church. And remember too, men and women, that our Saviour, when an infant, along with Mary and Joseph, they were also refugees. What a challenge. Remember, the Lord warned them of Herod's wicked plans to slaughter all the infants in Bethlehem. And what was the result? They fled. They fled for refuge into Egypt, what is generally described by the commentators as the flight into Egypt. So be in no doubt today that people in great danger and leaving their homeland as a result of that danger, people fleeing to another land, another nation, for safety, for refuge, it's nothing new, men and women. It's been happening for thousands of years. And it's a very prominent subject in the Scriptures. In fact, it's so prominent that you can't miss it. God has so much to say about it. But here is the vital question I want you to think about this morning. Why are some of them coming here to the United Kingdom, to Northern Ireland? I know there's several reasons or several answers to that question. Some answers relating to the liberties here, some answers relating to financial benefits and so on. But I want you to ask yourself, why in the purposes of God are many of them coming here? That's a good question, brothers and sisters. Let me give you the answer to that question. It's so that they can hear the gospel. So they can hear the word of God. We need to see that truth. And we need to have a vision. A vision for their souls. Think of it like this. The commission tells us to go into all the world, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, in what is taking place with refugees, the nations of the earth are coming to us. And we need to have a heart. And we need to have a program to reach those people, to reach those souls. You think of these vital questions, challenging questions. How do you reach closed countries with the message of the gospel? A closed country is a country that's closed to missionaries, closed to any missionary activity, any missionary work. And remember that Afghanistan is such a country. So how do you reach closed countries with the message of the gospel? How do you be a foreign missionary here at home? You ever think of that? Ever consider it? Ever consider the possibility of it? That you could be a foreign missionary here in Armagh, just where you live. Don't need to leave your home. Don't need to go across the seas. Don't need to go across the earth. You ask, how can I be a foreign missionary here in Armagh? Well, one answer, and there's a number that can be given, but the one I want to focus on today, by reaching the strangers, the foreign nationals, reaching the refugees in your community. They're all around us today, brethren and sisters. They're all around us today in multitudes. And I want you to see today, there's a mission field, a vast mission field, and it's sitting on our very doorstep. The hymn writer said, if you cannot cross the ocean and the heathen land explore, you can find the heathen nearer. You can find them at your door. And how true that is, men and women. That's the reality for us today. The streets of Armagh, the streets of Northern Ireland, are filled with foreign souls that need to hear the gospel, need to be reached for Christ. And we ought not to ignore that. We ought not to ignore those souls, like the Levite and the priest in the story of the Good Samaritan, just pass them by on the other side. You look at the words of our text, but the stranger that dwelleth with you, so there's many strangers that dwell with us today, they shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. So the message of the word of God to our hearts today is, you're to have a concern, you're to have an interest, you're to have a love, you're to have a compassion for the stranger that dwells in your land. In missionary terms, this is sometimes called immigrant outreaches. Many churches, especially in North America, have such ministries, such outreaches, that they devote a ministry to evangelize certain nationalities, certain people groups, like the Hispanics, that is prominent in their city or in their area. And I want you today, just for a moment, to think of reaching the refugees. May the Lord write that on your heart today as never before. What can you do? What can we do as a church to reach the refugees for Christ? I want, in closing, just to stress some important principles that you need to give your attention to when you're thinking of engaging in such a ministry, such an outreach. Let me emphasize prayer, first of all. Remember when Paul went to Philippi? We're told in Acts 16 of him going to prayer twice, on two occasions. That stresses the priority of prayer in missionary work. We must always begin our labors for Christ with prayer. The reason for that is only God can bless the work. Only God can prosper our labors. Never forget what the Savior himself taught when he was here on earth. Without me, you can do nothing. We need his help. We need his blessing. And as you think of reaching the refugees, you need to pray for guidance to know what to do. Need to pray for wisdom to know how to do it. Need to pray for power, the Lord's help for that work. We must pray for hearts to be opened like Lydia's, for lives to be changed like Paul's. Remember, he was the great persecutor of the Christians in the New Testament church. But the Lord stepped in and changed him and made him a leader of the same Christian church. So I urge you, brethren and sisters, take this upon your heart today. Make it a matter of earnest prayer. Pray at home privately in your quiet times. Pray at church publicly in the prayer meetings. Pray for a door of utterance to be opened, as Paul exhorted the Colossians. Pray that the Lord would do that for us, brethren and sisters. Ask the Lord to open an opportunity to this church to reach the refugees of Armagh for Christ. So take the matter to the Lord in prayer. Something else you need to think about as well as prayer is prejudice. Very important. The woman at the well said to the Saviour, "The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." The Jews had a deep resentment, a deep hatred of the Samaritans. And often the attitude today is, we have no dealings with foreigners. We have no dealings with the strangers, the refugees. There can be a prejudice against them, even as Christians. And that ought not to be the case, brethren and sisters. We need to ask the Lord to renew a right spirit within us. We need a whole new way of thinking. Remember that a missionary working in a foreign land will consider the culture, the language, the customs of those people as they make an approach to present the gospel to them. And the same is needed here when reaching the refugees. We need a missionary outlook here at home. You think of what Paul said, "I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Now, he didn't mean that he was weak or a compromiser or a man-pleaser. He was anything but that. The idea of those words is that he did whatever he could to identify himself with those that were around him in order to win them to Christ. Just think of this, one very simple thing that every one of us here could do to break down barriers. And that is to be friendly. Just to talk to people. Talk to strangers. Remember that a man that would have friends must show himself friendly. That's what the Savior himself did. Remember, he's the master soul winner. What an example he sets with the woman at the well. He simply sat down there at the well and talked to her. And you remember what we're told about the disciples? When they watched him, when they saw him, they marveled that he talked with a woman. Because of their deep prejudice They would never have done that. They would never have spoken to that stranger, even about her soul and the things of God. So the problem of prejudice needs to be overcome. Another thing is planning. Remember when Nehemiah went to labor in Jerusalem? Before he started the work, when he got there, he just didn't launch into the work right away. He went out by night. He surveyed the city. He took time to research the situation. And we need to do the same, brethren and sisters. Careful. Planning is vital. Two main aspects of that planning, of planning for this type of ministry. One is to investigate. Like Joshua, need to spy out the land. Find out such details as what nationalities are in our city. What numbers of people? Where do they live? What languages do they speak? What are their interests? Need to investigate. And as well as that, need to innovate. In this type of work, this type of ministry, there's a need to do something different, do something new to reach and to make contact with those people. Need to pray for guidance. Ascertain the best approach. Some churches have used Bible studies. Some have worked among students. Some have felt that specially prepared literature is the best means of approach. Some have set up English language classes just to bring them in, to make contact, start to build up those friendships. Others started craft classes or sports for the young people. So you need to plan very carefully the means of approach. Remember Nehemiah said, I consulted with myself. In other words, he thought deeply, thought the situation over carefully. He planned what was the best thing to do. And that's what's needed when you engage in this type of ministry. Well thought out plans. And the final thing I'll mention as a finish is patience. The scriptures exhort us to wait on the Lord. And in this sort of work, brethren and sisters, there's a need for great patience. Great patience. Because it can take a very long time to win the confidence of a stranger. To win the confidence especially of a refugee. You think of the bitter experiences that they have been through. So to be able to build up friendships, that'll take a long time. Let alone see those people won to Christ. Often you're looking at years, not just months. And even for the message to get out into the community, that as a church we care about the refugees, that can take a long time as well. I remind you when Judson went to Burma, Adoram Judson labored there for maybe 40 years. He was there for at least 6 before a soul was saved. But he didn't give up. He kept at the work. Needed to be patient. And I urge you, not just in this ministry, but in all the ministry connected with the church, I urge you to learn from that example. We need to wait on the Lord. And we need to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. The Christian and refugees. It's a vast subject in the scriptures. Reaching the refugees with the gospel. The Lord has given us that opportunity. In fact, that is a responsibility that lays upon us. And I pray today the Lord will give you a vision. From a little of what we have said this morning, may the Lord give you a vision. May he give you a burden even to do this work for him. So you think of the words of that text as we finish. The stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I want us to sing in closing. Maybe just two verses of 6, 7, 5. Far, far away, in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost. Who will go? Salvation storytelling, looking to Jesus, minding not the cost. You remember how Dr. Paisley taught us to sing this hymn? Not far away. And that's more true today than ever, men and women. We've highlighted that in the message this morning. Not far away. Within the very shadow of this church, that's how near. Not far away. In heathen darkness dwelling. Well, in our case, thousands of souls forever may be lost. So we're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 4 of the hymn, just the first and the last. And we'll sing the opening line as Mr. Paisley taught us, not far away, in keeping with our message this morning. So verses 1 and 4, please. Father, we draw nigh to thee at the close of the service, and we give thee our thanks just for being with us, for the word of God, for all you've said to us today. We ask thee just to touch our hearts, to give to us the love of which this verse speaks. And we want to pray, Father, that you'd use us, even as we think of all the souls coming into this land in darkness. Lord, our prayer would be that you'll use us to bring to them the light of your word and the light of the gospel. Be with us through the rest of the day. Bless our fellowship and our homes. Put your hand, even savingly, upon the service tonight. And now may the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name.